Let's get across to South Africa. When Jack Heveron got the passport sorted and was looking forward to calling two tests, he would never have predicted that he was walking into the week that he has seen unfold, of course, at Cape Town, and now the final test to begin in Johannesburg later on tonight, our time. Jack, great to speak to you.
BP, good morning to you. Good morning, Dal. Not in my wildest dreams or in any far-fetched idea did I think that I would walk into what I've walked into in the last week. It's been unbelievable. It's been weird. It's been emotional. It's been everything.
Absolutely. Jack, I went to bed last night after the footy and listening to, of course, Cam Bancroft and Steve Smith and David Warner, and then, of course, woke up in the early hours. I think Dal and I have hardly had any sleep, and you can't go to sleep at the moment because there's so many things happening. But the latest news on Darren Lehman, you were there on the ground. You'd been to the press conference the day before where we heard his first statement about not knowing about the incident, wanting to continue as coach, and a lot has changed in the space of 24 hours.
Well, I think based on what Darren Lehman said today at his press conference, and he was out pretty early with this, that he saw what Steve Smith went through, he saw what Cameron Bancroft went through.
Yep.
He did also mention David Warner, but obviously David Warner hasn't sat down and spoken to the media as yet, but he saw that. He saw the emotional toll, and I think he realised in many ways that there needs to be a lot of change that comes to Cricket Australia in the next 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, and I think a major part of that is the coach. So he's looked at that, he's spoken to his family. There's also another layer to this that Dal, as a player, can certainly identify with as well, that he spoke about a lot of abuse that he's copped, and he just decided that he and his family have just decided that that's enough, that they don't want to go through that anymore. So there's different layers to the decision. Was it completely expected? No, not for me it wasn't. I kind of had got my head around Darren Lehman steering Cricket Australia in this new direction, but unfortunately for him and for a lot of his fans, that won't be the case any longer.
Jack, you feel like the landscape here, and BP and I have been on air for about 45 minutes so far, and already the feeling after last night and what we saw on the boys with their press conferences, that the feeling's changed a little bit towards sympathy. Still very disappointed, but now a little bit more sympathetic. What's it like on the ground over there? Is there a feeling amongst, I guess, the Australians that are still there or the South Africans? Has anything changed?
It's a bit the same, Dal. I think now that there's been multiple casualties from it, unfortunately, and this is a reality, we live in a world where people want scalps. It's no different to politics or no different to AFL, where if your team's not performing well, you want the coach's head. This has been the same situation here. And until scalps started to fall, it was really, really aggressive. But since then, and we've seen the human toll of Cameron Bancroft, we've seen the human toll of Steve Smith, and then, as we just said, we've seen the demise of Darren Lehman as coach. People have backed off a little bit, and it's also worth considering that there's a test match that starts tomorrow morning, my time. I'm about to go to bed and wake up tomorrow morning and try and prepare for a test match where it looks like we're going to cop an absolute flogging. So it's definitely changed. In answer to your question, Dal, yeah, definitely in the last 12 hours, it's certainly changed to one of, gee, okay, these are pretty harsh penalties, but let's make sure that these young men are okay in the scheme of things.
Speaking about the penalties, and this is one that I can't quite get my own head around. I understand the penalties are there. Do you have an issue with the ICC handing down their punishment, and that's to all cricketers, and we know the amount of ball tampering that has happened in the past, to then the individual countries get to put a punishment on their players as well? And it does seem that the punishment for our players, being the Australians, compared to what other players have received from their countries, are so far apart. How does that sit with you?
It probably shows to me how much of an enormous wet lettuce the ICC is. And that's, you know, they're the governing body of the world. You would kind of hope that you would hold them to a higher standard than all of the other particular country bodies, you know, Cricket South Africa and obviously Cricket Australia and the ECB. But it's the opposite way around. We've got a body here who are just absolutely paranoid of suspending anyone. They're frightened of the fallback. India and a couple of the other strong nations, and Australia's probably one of them, have essentially got the ICC up against a brick wall, and they don't want to act. But in terms of how Cricket Australia acted, well, I think there's some sins of the last 5 years that are all being collectively rounded up in one hit here. So there's been an opportunity to, I guess, start afresh and start a new cultural shift within this group and change the way they conduct themselves, change the way they play cricket. So I guess the best way to do that is to bring in heavy sanctions. So I kind of think the penalties were all fair. I've never had an issue with the sanctions that were handed down and the severity of them, but it does look strange when the ICC don't even suspend Cameron Bancroft and our own governing body suspend him for the next 9 months.
Yeah, it's been the blight on the ICC for a long time. Jackie, I mean, you follow cricket very passionately, and the ICC, it's hard to define exactly what they stand for. A lot of the time they're quite silent. We don't hear a lot from the ICC, and they are the governing body who are there to shape what the game needs to look like. And the dominance of India in terms of, TV and money, it's always seemed a little bit out of whack for mine.
They stand for money, BT. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. They stand for the bottom line, and they stand for whatever they can do to keep the game profitable and to keep their own, payments as directors and all that sort of stuff profitable as well. So whereas Cricket Australia have probably got a bit more of a vested interest in the way that the game looks in our country and the perception and trying to encourage the next generation of kids to come through, that's not really a priority for the ICC. So unfortunately, they're so paranoid about the reaction from suspensions that they come in so soft all the time.
Jack, they say the show must go on, and it will tomorrow. You're about to go to bed. What can we expect when you wake up tomorrow morning from an Australian cricket point of view?
What I think we expect, Al, is I think it'll be almost certainly Joe Burns and Matt Renshaw at the top of the order. I think if had this had not gone on, I honestly think Usman Khawaja would have lost his spot. Honestly think that he wouldn't have been there. But I think he's going to survive now because it's just too much of a change to make. It's just an insane change to make to drop Usman Khawaja based on form. So I think he hangs on at number three. You might see Sean Marsh go to number four and Peter Hanscom to five and Mitchell Marsh at six. Where I think you're going to see something that we haven't factored in, I think there'll be a change within this bowling group. That those bowlers, Mitchell Stark in particular, were redlining in the third test and he looks spent. I'm just hearing a few little whispers here tonight. Don't be at all surprised if there's a change to the bowling group and that it's possibly Mitchell Stark that misses out.
Okay.
Misses out? What do you mean by that? Dropped?
I just think he's too sore.
No. Okay.
He was really labouring during the third test. Josh Hazlewood bowled beautifully. Pat Cummins was a lion heart during the third test. Mitchell Stark gave everything that he had, but he looked sore. So I get the feeling now that with this test gone and Mitchell Stark's history, if he's struggling, they'll pull him out. So we might see Chad Sayers.
In some ways, Jack, Tim Payne as captain, this game would almost be easier because I guess the expectation might be lower. How do you see him going for the next 5 days, taking the reins as now the Australian captain?
Well, I think there's no expectations, Sal. As you say,
is that better for him?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's in a no-lose situation in many respects. And I guess if you shift the conversation further to, well, what does the next captaincy appointment look like? To me, it's Tim Payne. To me, it's his job now because there's no real leading contenders. George Bailey's name was discussed. My understanding is that George Bailey wasn't interested in it. It had decided that wasn't for him. So it's really Tim Payne and probably Mitchell Marsh as his vice-captain for the next 12 months. So why not start now? Why not start with just instilling some qualities within this team, just instilling some values, some little ones, because there'll be some changes to this team over the next 12 months. But if he's going to be the man, why not get stuck into it straight away?
Jack Everin, live in South Africa, about to hit the Hague. He's got a big day of Test cricket. Live on Classic Rock tonight from 6:30, and then we'll flick across to SEN at 7:30 following Good Friday footy along with Adam Collins. And Adam Vogue is going to be must listening tonight on the radio. The one man who's been very resolute through all this is the CEO, Jack James Sutherland, who seems very, very intent now to, really maybe put his stamp more than any other time in his, 17, 18-year stint as the CEO of Cricket Australia. He won't be going anywhere, but gee, he's got a massive job in front of him, and I suppose there's been a lot of people thinking that he maybe should depart along with some other key figures. What's your take on that?
I don't think so. No, I think those conversations, BP, mostly skewed from when everyone wanted scalps, but I think now that the scalps have come, I don't see any reason why the CEO has to go with it. I mean, this is an enormous kick up the backside, not only for James Sutherland, but for Cricket Australia, that the way that this team were conducting themselves wasn't always at the standard that they should be looking at. So I mean, James isn't there. James wasn't there on day three at Cape Town. He wasn't in that room, and he wasn't in available to be involved in that decision. So I think it's a pretty harsh call to call for his head, but I think, like a lot of people involved in Cricket Australia, as I say, it's an enormous foot up the bum about the fact that the standards need to lift within this team.
Because it's festered for a while. It's an interesting debate, isn't it, Dale? You've been in that environment where it's the administration, then you know, you've got your separate sports, you know, the footy department or the cricket department, high performance, who are looking after the cricket area, and how much responsibility is on the shoulders of a CEO in
I agree with you, Jack, in that example. I don't think Sutherland is responsible for this. Yes, he oversees, I guess, the industry being cricket, but no, I don't see his hands being dirty with this one. I still think there's players that need to take responsibility. This is across the board, and obviously the cricketers have, but if a player does a selfish or individual act, that's on them, and then that's when it feeds on to Boof, who's ultimately gone down with it. But I don't see it going any further than those playing group and the immediate coaching staff.
I agree, Dale. And I think there's going to be a lot of changes. There'll be a review similar to what we went through a few years ago with the Argus review and everything that came out of that. And there were some really good takeaways from that. I don't think it'll be on the same scale, but there will be some reviews about the way that this team has operated for a long time. And Darren Lehman even said that today at his press conference, that he would be available for any conversations or any interviews about the way this team operates and would be happy to give some suggestions about how they should move going forward. I think if you're looking forward, Tim Payne, for anyone who's had anything to do with Tim Payne, he is just a terrific human, has had to do it the hard way for a lot of his career, had that shocking finger injury and was getting set to take a job working at Kookaburra selling bats, and now he's the 46th captain of Australia and looks like he'll be that way for at least the next 12 months. I think you could almost, if I had a house, I don't have a house, but if I had a house, I'd put it on Justin Langer. I think he's going to come in and play a role with this Australian team almost effective immediately. And there'll be other changes within the hierarchy of this team as well. But there are changes within the team and the everyday structure. James Sutherland is the CEO of a business. He's not the CEO of a cricket team. He's the CEO of a business. So that team is just one element, albeit a very important element of his role. But I don't think that there's any reason that he should go for this.
Gee, been a few revelations, but another one there that you don't actually have a house. Oh, no, you lived in a tent. Gee.
It shouldn't shock you, BP. Well, you know the industry we work in. I'm scratching by.
It's in Toorak, though, by the way. It's not a bad tent.
Good on you, Jack. We'll let you get some sleep. We'll hear you on the radio tonight from 6:30. Classic Rock, 1377, switching across to SEN after a Good Friday footy alongside Adam Collins and Adam Voges. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, BP. Thanks, Del. Cheers.
Good on you.